Welcome to this week's podcast from Church on the Rock. We hope that it will challenge and inspire you to be a more passionate follower of Jesus. For more information about Church on the Rock, visit us at cotrcalera.com.
Of course, you know, being our church anniversary here this morning, one of the things that I had, and for those of you who had kind of been coming the past couple of weeks, I had, being kind of our 15 year, I thought, you know what, I'm going to get my senior pastor from Florida, who I served under for several years, I'm going to get him to come and speak. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to get my brother-in-law to come and maybe help a little bit too. And then it kind of turns out that my senior pastor from Florida had to back out because of some family things that he had to take care of. And so it left us with my brother-in-law, who we have. It's I know. It's the truth be known, and listen, the truth be known, is that it's you probably dodged a bullet, okay? Because my pastor down in Florida is, we would be here till probably 12:30. I'm just gonna just be honest with you, okay? He would stand up here and tell story after story after about me that only half of it was true, okay? So I would obviously let you know before he even starts speaking that you can only believe a half of what he says about me, all right? The rest of it, and I don't know which half to believe. I'm just telling you only half of it's true, all right? But the last time we invited him to come, it was actually our very first anniversary, and that's basically what happened to us. We had like a 2.5-hour service. We had new people at the church. They never came back again. Like, what in the world is going on? Like, these people meet like for 3 hours, you know. But he's a funny guy, and he has a great anointing. He was incredibly impactful in our life when we were in our 20s and trying to serve the Lord. And so I wanted to do that as a way to honor him. But he unfortunately wasn't able to make it. So actually, it's a really good thing because, I have a lot of confidence. Oh, there you go. Lord. Yes, Lord. The Lord has confidence too. I have a lot of confidence and a lot of faith in Jeremy, who helped us plant the church. So when we started this church and when Crystal and I felt a call to come up here and start the church, they were one of the first ones that we came and talked to and was like, hey, we feel like that guy wants us to come plant this church up in Calera. And of course, you know, we're young and dumb. You know, we don't know what we're doing, but we're just like, hey, you know what? We're just going to go after hell with squirt guns and we'll just see what happens. And that's basically what we were like. I mean, we had no training. It was just like, hey, we're going to start this church and we're just going to love Jesus and love people and do the best we can. And that's really kind of what it was. And he was willing to, and even though we had no expectation on any of our family members to be a part of that, they jumped right on in and helped us for a solid 6 years, 6.5 years. And we're a part of, I think, probably every pastoral role in the church he filled at some role at some point, except for the senior pastor role, you know, and made a big impact in our church and our community here. And of course, we were incredibly sad to see them go, and, you know, it hurt me deeply, and I'm still trying to recover from that. And I keep trying to tell them that they just don't belong in Florida, that they belong back up here, but they just won't believe me. So maybe you can help me with that today, all right? But one of our plans was that Pastor Jeremy would come and help lead worship, and my senior pastor would preach. And so when my senior pastor backed out, I was like, hey, Jeremy, you're preaching too. So you're going to lead worship and you're going to preach. And so we're incredibly honored and thankful to have him here with us this morning. So why don't y'all give him a hand this morning as he comes to stage.
Well, it is an honor. This is one thing that I wanted to do before I got started with the word is, how many people in this room were here at the beginning? Can you stand up? Because I want you to look around, and if you got, would you honor them? These guys have been dug in, and I know that you know this. You guys can be seated. I know that you know this, but you know, Pastor Paul tells you parts of the stories, and he actually does tell the truth, where Pastor Tad from Florida just enhances the truth. Okay. But what Pastor Paul didn't tell you was this. When he came, we had a meeting over at Clear High School, and we were meeting with the principal, and we had no idea what to expect, because back then everybody's like, if you're wanting to plant a church, you just go to a school and they're going to help you out. But at the time that we were going, they had started to stop that. Like they were trying to put up roadblocks. And so we go in, and I can remember walking there. I think there was a basketball game going on, and this was like a Saturday evening or whatever. And me and Pastor Paul walk to find where the principal is, and nobody can find him. They're calling him on the radio. Well, we find him in the cafeteria. Well, little did we know that before we had gotten there, he had already met with another church to meet in the same school. And he had already told them yes. So, like, our plan was we wanted to meet into the cafeteria, and he tells us this, and so me and Paul look at each other like, we just really felt like this is what God told us to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so we walked back out to the parking lot, and I was like, wait a minute, dude. I was like, why did we just take that answer? We got to go back in. He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, well, first off, we don't have hardly anybody in the church right now, but he only told us no to the cafeteria. This place is huge. And so what we did, I was like, let's ask him if we can use the auditorium. He's like, Jeremy, there's 600 seats in that auditorium. And when he told you that we were young and dumb, I was the poster child of young and dumb. And I said, we're going to fill it. There's going to be hundreds of people on the first time we meet. I honestly was believing this, okay? And he's like, all right, well, let's go ask him. And so we go back in and we're like, hey, we know you said no about the cafeteria, but what about the auditorium? And come to find out, the auditorium had a sound system, which we did not have a sound system. It had access to things that we did not have access to. And the seats were more comfortable than having to sit on those little cafeteria seats. And we get ready for the first day, and I'm like, Paul, you ready? These people are going to pour into this place today. Like, we've got worship practice going, and worship consisted of a drummer that might show up every now and then, my sister, myself, and a guitar player, and Rob is jumping up there with us. But the first day, the doors open. I'm like, I'm ready for him to come in. God, I think there was like 52 of us, and about 30 of them did not plan on staying at our church. They were just coming to support us. Now, I tell you that story not because there's any real spiritual meaning behind it other than this. At that moment, your pastor and his wife could have just said, you know what? I think we might have missed this. Because after year one went by, and after year two went by, and after year three went by, and after year four went by, I can remember standing on the stage one day and I said, Paul, I said, if we're still doing this, year five, I'm out. I'm gone. Now, I stayed to year five, technically, but year six, I was out. But your pastor stayed. Your pastor fought through everything that he just described to you. Every time that we would get a phone call, Rob would get a phone call, he's leading worship, and the drummer or somebody couldn't be there. Or maybe we would show up and the door was locked to the sound room and you just could do acoustic. Or maybe you're in the middle of everything and the fire alarms go off, which all of these things have happened, okay? And when I say the fire alarms went off, I don't know if you've ever been in a high school and all the fire alarms go off. Like, most people would be like, let's get out of the building. No, we're searching for the fire. Because we thought it was one of our kids who said it. Okay? And so, this is the history. This is the life of what we're doing. What Pastor Paul didn't tell you as well was the day that Pastor Tataro, that he arrived and he spoke on the one-year anniversary, we had like five or six visitors. We're excited. Because year one, we got like 25, 30 new people. He preached till 1 o'clock. They never came back. So this is the history of a church plant. So today what I want you to do is I'm going to need you to engage with me because, to be honest with you, I'm a very loud person. But I love you to interact with me. I love for you to be excited about God's word because I am. I mean, how many of you just get excited when you read something and it just like comes to life and you like you understand it? It's like, ooh, what was that the last 35 times I read it? Anybody? Or are you still in that? Well, it's a one-year Bible. I got to read this. Click, click, click. Okay, I didn't really read it, but it's done. You know, because I think there's a way to live as a Christian excited, and there's a way to just sort of sustain, because some of us, I just want to survive. Anybody ever said that? I just want to survive. And it's okay because there's seasons to where I just want to survive. But let me tell you, I love that season where I want to just thrive. That season where I can be like, you know what? I'm excited about what God's word said. I'm excited about what it says that's inside of me. And today's message, the title of the message is called More Than Able. So if you take notes, I want you to think about what that statement may mean to you right now. Because I don't know anybody's story hardly in this room. And most of you don't know mine, but when you think of More Than Able, what God has done inside of me and my family, I cannot even begin to it would take too long today to tell you what God has done. But what you need to know is this. Because of what he has done, when I stand up here and say that he's more than able, you need to listen to me this morning. You need to believe me this morning because God is more than able. God is bigger than anything you walked in this room with. God is bigger than anything that you might have anxiety or fear about right now because his word says that he's more than able, and I need you to trust him and believe that. Because see, here's what I know. Down in Florida, I'm the associate pastor and the young adult pastor. I've done many things within the church, but at one point I just felt like I was a one-armed paper hanger. I was just all over the place. Well, in the process of doing that, I got to meet a group of guys that helps me do different things as far as set up for festivals and set up for events and things like this. And on one particular day, just a few months ago, we're setting up, and all of these guys, they're in a program called Loving Hands, which it takes people with addictions, whether it be alcohol or drugs or whether they've just gotten out of prison and all of these things. So their stories are all over the place, but they go through a two-year program, and they get discipled, and they get sent back out. It's equipping the saints. Like, it's like if you want the scripture to come alive, you would see these guys. And so they came over and they're helping me. And I've got a new group of guys. And there's this one particular guy. We're setting up the fair building because we have to build a huge building for the fair. And I give instructions because if you don't know anything about me, I'm OCD. I light things in a certain spot. The Lord thought it was very funny to give me a group of kids, four daughters who are not OCD, and a wife who is definitely not OCD. Okay? Matter of fact, if you want to meet some of my kids, can y'all stand up? Where's my other kid? Where'd she go? She's back here. This is my wife, Josie. This is Gabriella. This is Autumn. And this is Hallie. My oldest, y'all can sit back down. My oldest is getting married and having a baby, Peyton. I'm sorry that you're mad about that. Oh, she isn't married. Sorry. She isn't married. Sorry, she's married. She's gonna have a baby. That's what I meant to say. Now y'all jacked up my whole story. But anyway, I'm OCD, and these people show up, and they're here to help me build this building. Now, this building is a 20-foot by 50-foot aluminum building that we've got to get set up from scratch. We tear it down, we put it up. So I'm giving them specific instructions, and there's this one guy that no matter what instruction I gave him, he was gonna do something completely different. He had a better idea. His ways were better. And I'm like, you don't know me, and this is really messing with me. And I'm the pastor there, and I'm trying to be like, I have to be a pastor right now. Lord, I know I'm supposed to have self-control, but I don't feel like I have it right now, and I need some help. And he just kept doing it, and he kept doing it. And I was like, I'm going to hurt this guy. But in my mind, I'm also going, but I don't know his background. He might kill me. And so, like, the word danger started just flashing because I had labeled him dangerous. And if you don't know me about me again, I'm scared of the dark. So when I see danger, I'm running. I'm not the guy pulling the gun. Somebody else can do that. I'm running faster than you. I just don't have to be the slowest, okay? But I tell you that story because what I had done in that moment, even as a pastor, even as someone watching what God has done in my life and transforming everything about me and who I am and transforming my family, I have labeled this guy dangerous because I just refused to just go a little bit further, just to take just maybe another second. Now, maybe that dude will never listen for the next year, but those moments... That was a yes. That was God saying yes. But I do know this. There's many of us in here that we've been given a label by somebody. I can't tell you how many labels I've been given. And to be honest with you, most of them were true in that moment. But where I stand today, they're no longer true because he's more than able. The ushers, do y'all have the piece of paper? I wanted to do something interactive today, and I had no idea how you're going to respond. I still don't. I'm praying that you will respond. But the ushers are going to pass down pieces of paper, and I want every single person to take one. If you have a pen, great. If you need a pen, they have a few pens. But here's the purpose of this piece of paper. You're going to write something on it here in just a minute, and you're going to just keep it for the rest of the service until I give further instruction. And what you're going to write on this piece of paper, and this may have been given to you by somebody else. Maybe you have several that have been given to you. But I need you to listen to this one carefully because this is a dangerous spot as well. Maybe you have given your own self a label. Maybe you have decided that this is what you've decided who you were, because I can remember days in my life to where I had given myself a label and I would tell people that, but what it really was, it was a form of pride in me that was saying, my label is going to be solid. My label is bigger than what God has spoken to me or spoken of me or about me. So as these papers come down the aisle to you, as you get a piece of something to write with on this, what I want you to do is I want you to write down that label that's been given to you. I want you to write down that label that you might have given yourself. And I want you to write it. You can write it as big as you want. You can write it as small as you want. But I want you to write it. And then I want you just to put the piece of paper away. Don't throw it away. Don't put it in your purse. Don't put it in your Bible. Don't put it in your pocket. Just keep it close to you. Give you just a second to write. But after you've written this down, I want you to look at your neighbor. And I want you to say, he is more than able. Oh, y'all whispering. Come on now. Do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, he is more than able. Now look at your other neighbor that you didn't choose and say, I chose you second, but he's still more than able. See, a lot of us, we live a life to where we feel like we're second. We live a life where we feel like we've been the victim. We live a life to where we feel very sad about things that have taken place in our lives. But I'm going to tell you right this. If you can wake up in the morning, and I say if, because you're like, Pastor, you just don't understand. You need to know, I can understand every place that you've been. Every single place that you name, I guarantee you I can relate in some fashion or form. If I haven't lived it, I've lived it with someone. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to just to go list to list with you. What I'm here is to say, listen, we have to figure out a way to wake up in the morning and make that statement. He is more than able. He is more than able. If we look at this, and we look at scripture all throughout the book, all throughout your reading here in the Bible, here's what you will come to find, that less is more with God, because so many of us are always looking for that more. Anybody ever said, hey, I just want more. I just want more. I want next. What's next? What's next? And we just pile on and pile on. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed before? Anybody? Y'all gonna have to raise your hands, okay? All right. So if you felt overwhelmed, look back and say, how many times? Well, Lord, just give me. But then we're like, but this is too much. Or this isn't what I asked for. See, less is more with God in the scripture. And you're like, and I'm all about enlarge my territory. So don't get those two mixed up right now. But when we look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, it's not going to be on the screen. So if you've got your Bible, you can turn to it or you can write notes. I'm going to read it to you. But it says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. It's a mindset to where I'm going to give up all of these things to where I've tried to be in control. Because how many of you have been in control and you have wrecked the ship? Anybody? Can I just tell you how many ships and trucks and sometimes I thought I had a tank. I was like, this one is, nothing's going to, no, I wrecked too. There's been times where it's like, I would even try to keep going. I'd be limping. I'd be that person driving with my tire off my rim and it's just, no, Lord, just blow my whole thing up then. You're making a mess over here. It's done. See, if we reference John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new life. So I tell you that, and you're like, what does that even mean related to he's more than able? Well, here's what it's saying. It's saying, I must die so that I can bring new life to you. So if you want this new life, follow me. So if there's a form of death to the old life that precedes the coming of new life. How many of you are ready for some new life in your season? How many of you are ready for something fresh and new? There's young people in here going, yes, I'm ready to get out on my own. Well, they got to get a job. They got to become responsible. And all of these things aren't going to happen just immediately. There may be times that they are going to fall because there's going to be some death in their old life that has to take place to where the new life can begin. And it just doesn't have to be young people. How many old people are ready for something fresh and new? We've got people that are elders of the church that literally sit in the church and they feel like, I've heard this statement over the past 3 or 4 years. They're like, well, I've done all that I can do. Nobody really needs me anymore. That's a lie from the enemy. Amen? That is a lie from the enemy because we need the elders of our church pouring in to the youth of our church. We need the elders of our church pouring in to the parents of our church. We need the elders of our church to wake up and go, you know what? I'm not done yet because if I was done, I'd be dead and buried. Amen? It's time to get excited again about church. If I'm 85 years old, I'm going to be up here trying to sing, I trust in God. I might crack all over the place, but I don't care because I still trust in God. I'm going to be speaking the word because I still trust in God. We got people walking away from ministry all the time because the words, he is more than able, have become silenced to the voice of the enemy that says, it's just not worth it anymore. We got people walking away because they've been hurt. And we're going to address that here in a little bit. But I'll tell you this, and you can write this down. Some of you need to put this on your dashboard every morning that you wake up. But it says, we are called to move from brokenness to healing, guilt to forgiveness, and isolation to intimacy. I'm going to say it again. I don't see a whole lot of people writing, but for the ones that are, I'm going to call you out. We are called, even my family ain't writing this down. We are called to move from brokenness to healing, guilt to forgiveness, and isolation to intimacy. That leads us to our passage this morning. I have no idea when I'm supposed to be done, but I ain't worried about it. Luke chapter 3, if you want to turn there with me. Anybody got a Bible this morning? Okay. All righty then. I hope y'all got it on the screen. Thank you, Pastor. Anybody else? Come on with it. Y'all got your phones up. I don't even get internet service in here, so I only got it for the clock. That Wi-Fi password gets me. I don't understand that stuff. All right. Y'all stop. Okay, we're good. All right, Luke chapter 3. It says, it was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea. And Trachonitis and Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priest. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places made smooth.' And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." I know I'm reading and it's not up there because I went further than what I told him I was going to read. "When the crowds came to John for baptism, he said, 'You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, "We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham." That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones." Now, I went further because I actually forgot the last four verses, what they said, until I read them again and again and again. See, it's not just enough to show up to church. If you're just checking the box off, it's about the relationship. It's about the fellowship with God. It's about what's happening on the inside. Let me give you a little illustration. You know, you got these, some of you got kids that are really nasty when they drink, like they backwash into the cup. Like there's food that goes back in the cup. I've got one daughter that I refuse to drink after. I'm not going to call her out in here. But see, you can wash the outside of that cup all you want and it can look pretty. But if you look on the inside of that cup, it's disgusting. Okay? And you put that thing in the dishwasher, and it's so disgusting on the inside that it's going to jack up all the other cups that's in the dishwasher trying to get clean. Does that make sense? See, that's what the church does when we're only worrying about what the appearance of our church looks like. What does the health of our church look like? See, I don't care if we got 50 people in this room or if we've got 1,000 in this room. What does the health of those 50 people look like? What does the health look like? Because if they're healthy, this room ain't going to be at 50 much longer, because they're going to go out there and they're going to be spreading the news. They won't be able to get out the doors fast enough. Your people that you work with, has anybody ever like looked at you and go, "Man, something's changed about you"? Anybody ever had that happen? Like you encounter God and next thing you know, they're like, "Man, what's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" I had somebody call me a really nasty word when God got a hold of me because I wasn't the same person anymore. They didn't want to hang out with me anymore because I wouldn't do the same things that I used to do, because there was something different. Point number one is this: he is more than able in the unknown. See, the reason that I mentioned these seven men here in John chapter 3 in the first couple of verses, because each man was well known all throughout Israel. Okay? It would have only taken maybe just one of them for something to shift, and all of a sudden the ministry of Jesus might have changed significantly. I mean, who knows? Because these are just the what if moments. Because how many of you have ever disqualified yourself because you don't have enough connections? Anybody? How many of you have ever disqualified yourself because maybe you can't preach, or maybe you can't sing, or maybe you can't do this? Well, let me tell you, there's something that you can do because God put it inside of you. God put it inside of you. And so when you say he's more than able, I ain't got to worry about the qualifications of everybody else, because what we find right here is there was a bunch of connected people. And it could have done this, but instead, the word of God came to John where? In the desert. And he became or becomes the forerunner of Jesus because less is more with God. God didn't need the more of all those people. He didn't need the connections of all those people. How many know God does not need your connections? Anybody? That's okay to say amen right there. See, God doesn't need your money. Now, he wants you to give your very best. He wants you to give your first fruits to him. It's something that he's called us to do in obedience. But if you're just doing it to check off a box, well, guess what? You're missing the boat. God wants you to give of your time. Did you know giving of your time is a form of offering? See, there's a lot of different things that I think that we overlook. And so when we say he is more than able in the unknown, there's something about it because we've got an emperor here. We've got a governor. We've got multiple other rulers. We got two high priests that are in the names that we just read here in the first two verses. And you sit there and you go, how in the world do I match up, Lord? Well, stop trying to match up. Just be in the presence of God. See, I think there's a whole lot of us in here that can relate to this right here. He passed up seven other people and he picked out John. And you know the cool thing about this? This was already decided a long time ago. See, while we're sitting there matching ourselves up to the people that are next to us at our job or that are next to us here in the pew or in the seat right here or that are next to us in our neighborhoods, we're matching ourselves up right now. Can I just tell you, God chose you a long time ago. He chose you a long time before this moment because he is more than able. I think it's just the way that we look at things. When I think of Church on the Rock here, can I tell you something that we used to hear all the time? Y'all are the best kept secret in the city of Calera. Pastor Paul, how many times you hear that? If people knew you were here, they would just flock to this church. And for the longest time, that statement made me mad. It's like, stop saying that, because there was times there was more people on the stage leading worship than there were out in the stinking audience. I'm being serious. There were a few times I think our family was there. The people leading, it was just our families. Like, hey, we don't need no greeters today. We all know you. Don't make the coffee. The kids are going to just spill it. See, because he is more than able in the unknown. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's right around the corner, but God does. And if I know he's more than able, guess what? I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to praise him, even if he doesn't do it right now. Because if you want to talk about a patient man, a faithful man, I cannot honor Pastor Paul enough of how many nights he had to have sat there in his own quiet personal time with the enemy just saying, why are you still fighting for this? Let me tell you, you're why he's still fighting for this. This community is why he's still fighting for this. This building right here, what had to have happened for this to even be reality? It's because he is more than able, and he's more than able in the unknown. It's not very smart to cry when you got glasses on. See, he chose John to make the most significant announcement in human history, a person that he found out in the desert. I think about the ways that we limit God sometimes. Have you ever limited God? God, I need you to move, but here's your parameters right here. I don't want to move there. I don't want to move here. I need this. I don't want this. And you better not have those people coming with me. Anybody ever done that? Oh, but by the way, give me a sign, please. You drive by a billboard that says no. And you're like, I need another sign. I'm sure I missed the other message there. The next sign, not at all. You want it in a different language? Nada. Sign after sign. Ain't happening. Have you lost your mind? Selfish. Fine. You need a counselor. Over and over. I'm just telling you. He's more than able in the unknown, but when we limit God, it does something to you. You're constricting the freedom that he wants for you. You know, I think of my crazy ideas. Let me just tell you my idea. You've got the calm down version of Church on the Rock right here with Pastor Paul, okay? He's got Rob up here playing every. Rob has been playing worship with me for so many years. I can remember having Rob, I was like, Rob, if you'll get up here and play this guitar behind me, I'll speak quicker. He's like, liar. I had Rob up there playing for an hour and 20 minutes, and I thought I was going. I was like, yes, in the name of the Lord. Rob's like, my fingers are bleeding. See, he's more than able in the unknown, because Rob was like, when's it going to end? See, my version was like this. I have a choir up on the stage behind me. We had like purple robes from top to bottom. We'd be just swaying back and forth. We'd be like lighting it up. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm telling you right now, I have told God when I get to heaven and I get my heavenly body, I want to look like T.D. Jakes. I want to sing like Fred Hammonds. And if you make me look like this, oh, I will go have a problem. That's my conversation with God. Because I'm telling you, it's like, there's just something about getting excited about what God is doing and what he will do and what he can do and what he's already done. Amen? Story after story, and it's like the excitement inside of you. It's like, I can't wait to tell somebody, because there's somebody in this room that has the same identical story or close to it like me, and I need to tell you. I don't know how you feel right now. You may feel like you are trapped. You may feel like you have been shunned. You may feel like you've been pushed out. Can I tell you this? Stop worrying about all of this, because he is more than able, and he will bring you through. Stop trying to go around it. Let's walk through it and walk through it with the Lord. Nobody else. Quieten the noise of all those people that are going to tell you what you want to hear, and listen to what God needs you to hear. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Can you look at your neighbor and go, your thoughts are not his thoughts? Don't look to your other neighbor. Well, you already picked them second twice. Don't do it again. I'm looking at you, all of you are like this. I'm looking at my best friend. Because I can whisper this. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. I will call two of you up here and make you like illustrate it, okay? Let's move to point number two. He is more than able in the timing. What'd you say? Pastor Paul's like, I hope the timing's going to get close to quick. Over. It's like, the food's going to be cold. Woo! Y'all thought y'all were getting done early when Pastor Tad stayed in Florida. I'm just a mini version of him. Okay. Not really mini. You can't look at this and say mini. Wider. No, he's definitely wider than me. Okay. I hope this isn't recorded, because he is going to fire me. Okay. So point number two, he is more than able in the time. And if you look at this in verses 1-2, again, seven men are mentioned. Five men have an iron grip on the governing of the people. Two of them, Annas, I knew I was going to do that. Annas and I'm never going to be invited back. It doesn't say that in the Bible. I'm sorry. I'm just going to start spelling it. Annas and Caiaphas, they have an iron grip on the religious system. Okay, so if we're looking at this in a realistic or a fleshly way, a human way, you would look at this and go, this is just not the right time. Have you ever looked at something and said, this just isn't the right time? Anybody? Okay. You've looked at something, and I need you to stay with me on this one, because sometimes we look at things and we're correct. It's not the right time. But sometimes we will look at something, and because it looks difficult, sometimes because it looks hard, Sometimes because it looks like it's something we've never done before or it has never been done, we say it's just not the right time. That's the excuse that we use. But if we talk about he is more than able in the timing, that means we have to trust the God to where we make this statement that less is more with God. We look in it, it seems impossible to make it work. You know, if we look at all this, you know, it would look like the government wasn't open. And nobody wanted certain, they didn't want anybody claiming to be the Messiah in certain little circles there. There was only room for what was happening in that moment. The religious system was sort of flowing like everybody wanted it to flow. The people that were involved, they had their place and they didn't want anything else happening, okay? But here's what we know. It was a dark time there. So if you look at it from a fleshly way, it looked as impossible. Because you would say, well, this should have happened earlier. This should have been done. And if this would have happened this way, because it didn't fit the personal things that were taking place, the personal freedoms that certain people had that they should have never had. But let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation and the NIV, because it says it two different ways, and I think it's interesting. But in the New Living Translation, it says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, aren't you thankful for that? Because when we were utterly helpless, anybody ever felt utterly helpless? I can't pay my mortgage. I don't know how I'm going to put food on my table. I don't even have gas to get somewhere. Like, these are things that people realistically think right now. But let's look at it in the NIV, and it says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Utterly helpless and ungodly. See, I'm not calling you utterly helpless and ungodly, but I'm just saying that at just the right time, this is what he was willing to do for us, because he is more than able in the timing. He comes into our impossible moments. He comes in when it's the darkest time, when there is little hope. Now, how many of you would love for him to come a lot sooner? Anybody? Like, Lord, you really don't have to wait that long. There have been times I've been sitting in my car going, Lord, I don't know if you think this is funny, but I don't know if you can tell by the tears in my eyes, it's no longer funny to me. I need you to start coming a whole lot sooner. This whole, like, poverty thing, no, it's not fun. So, he is more than able, no matter the time. God's timing is not our timing. Look at your neighbor and look to your second neighbor this time and say, God's timing is not our timing. Now, if they just looked at you, say, thank you for picking me first this time. Now, let's go to point number three, because we're going to start wrapping this thing up. Point number three, he is more than able in the wilderness. Once again, seven men are mentioned. All seven men are in populated areas. Like, they are in the perfect places. They are in the places that you would think, how many of you would think, oh man, that's a gold mine. This is why they're successful, because they got all of this. Anybody ever done that? Oh, they only got that because of this. They've got this because of this, this because of this, and we don't have this because of this. Have you ever gotten caught up in counting the things or listing the things that you didn't have versus the things that you did have? Anybody ever done that? I've done that before. Heck, we do that in the church. Well, I've seen pastors that have two or three services going. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, but they're going to tell me everybody that wasn't there rather than who was there. Does that make sense? And it's not like they're bad people for that, but it's like this. It's the mindset, and it's like Paul was talking about as he was teaching, you know, in the scriptures. It's like we're going to have to retrain our minds, because if we're going to talk about God is more than able in the unknown, and God is more than able in the timing, and God is more than able, Point number three, did I ever give it to you? He's more than able in the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but the wilderness is a lonely place. When you're seeing the same thing over and over and over and over again, it can mess with your mind. It can mess with your spirit. It can mess with the way you talk to people. It can mess with the way that you approach life. Most people, they were like, wouldn't he have picked somebody other than John? Leads me to this, Church on the Rock, Calera. He could have picked anybody. Could have picked anybody. But he chose you. Every single person in this room, he chose Paul and Crystal to lead you. He chose Rob to walk away from a job that no normal, sane person would have walked away from. That's just the truth of things. And there's story after story. I just picked out two, but he chose you. He chose you to be the forerunner for this thing to take off. If you want to see lives changed, if you want to see mindsets shifted, if you want to see people stop walking away from the church, if you want to see people start walking back into the presence of God, if you'll come up, Autumn, there's got to be a mind shift in us. When we get in that wilderness, let me tell you, he's more than able. I'm not worried about the timing. I'm not worried about what he's going to do or what he's going to say. But Lord, here's what I need to know is, or here's what I need you to know. When I come out of this wilderness, I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. Anybody in here want to be ready? When you come out of your wilderness, when you come out of that desert place, when you come out of that place to where you've just been going in circle after circle, I just want to be ready. I don't want to be coming out and get the very thing that I've been asking for year after year, or month after month, or day after day, and then all of a sudden he says, okay, here it is. And you go, oh man, what do I do? What do I do now? I want to be ready. I want to be able to talk about an amazing God that's far above anything that's ever going to come in front of me. That's why I get so emotional up here. Today I've just been a crybaby. I'm sorry. But there's something about being in the presence of God. There's something about being with people that are hungry for something, and maybe they just don't know how to get it. Or maybe they're just scared to go after it. Anybody brave enough to just say, you know what, I've just been scared. God's been stern in me. Maybe I've just been scared. And you ain't got to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but inside, you got that sheet of paper. I want you to put it in your hand if you would. My daughter's going to start playing here in just a second. No, she's playing. I'm sorry. She's going to sing. Now I got y'all laughing at me. Normally it's the front row laughing at me. It's like. Here's what I think some of you need to hear rather than all the other stuff that I've asked you to tell your neighbor. Can you turn to somebody and just look them straight in the eyes, and I want you to be as sincere as you possibly can be. This one's not going to be the funny moment, okay? Because somebody in this room needs to hear this. I want you to look at them and say, you are more than able. Being sincerely told that you are more than enough. You were chosen by God. You have something inside of you that God wants to use. But he's given you the choice whether or not you want to pursue it. That's just how good he is. He's a selfless God because he's a God that would drop everything and do anything for any of you in this room. But you have to choose it. He's not going to force it upon you.
Matter of fact, he's the same God that will sit there and listen to you year after year, day after day, month after month, tell him just how bad he is and why he's so bad and what he didn't do for you. But at the drop of a hat, if you say, God, please forgive me, I want to come into your presence, he will drop everything and he will wrap you in his arms and he will love on you like you've never been loved before, because he is more than able. God is more than able. That piece of paper that you have in your hand, there's a little platform right here, and some of you may not be able to move. I understand that. You're squeezed in a little bit. And you don't have to do it right now. You can do it when the service is over. You can do it whenever. But that label that you're holding in your hand, I want you to start folding it up to where you can't see that anymore. Fold it and fold it and fold it. And I want you to take that and I want you to lay it at the feet of God. Because that label that somebody gave you, that label that you may have given yourself, God didn't give it to you. Because God says you are more than a conqueror. God says that you're more than enough. God says that he created you in his image. Not the person down the road's image, but his image. And he created you uniquely for a specific purpose. And he has a plan that's designed specific for you. Nobody else. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I do want to just apologize for going a little bit longer. Hopefully he will invite me back. But right now, with all eyes, nobody, all eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. If you're in this room, I do want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you're here for the first time here at Church on the Rock, or maybe you're here for the 20th or 50th time. And maybe there's been some crazy stuff that's been happening in your life. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Maybe you've just really been struggling in certain areas. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart ever. But if you're in here and you say, Pastor Jeremy, I'd really like to have a relationship with God that looks a whole lot different than it does right now. If that's you, could you just lift your hand so I can be praying for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've got hands going up. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, because we're going to sing this song, and hopefully they'll have the words up here. But I believe we have some prayer team members that will meet you down at this altar. But if you would like to move, this is where it's going to be. Bring those pieces of paper. Lay them down here at the altar. If you want someone to pray with you and say, you know what? I want my relationship to look different. Will you come and meet one of these team members down here at the altar? Will you come and just tell them? I don't care if you're on the worship team. I don't care if you're on the media team. All of those things will take care of themselves. I don't care if you serve on the ushers. I don't care if you serve in kids ministry. It doesn't matter where you serve, because if your relationship is broken, he's called you to come and get some healing. He's called you to come and let someone agree with you and allow God to start changing things. Come on, let's worship. Come on, anybody else? Come on, guys. People are starting to move. Don't let your fear or your anxiety hold you back. Come on, come down here and pray with someone. Come down here and lay that label down and say, I'm leaving here today a new creation. I'm going to sing about a God that is an awesome God. Come on.
So faithful you are, such an awesome God. such an awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so faithful you are, such an awesome God.
Come on, if you're, as you're singing this song, just lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, give Him praise in this place. Come on, if you don't know the words, just tell Him how good He is. What does He mean to you? What has He done for your family? Come on, just speak the name of Jesus. Come on, speak truth over your family. Speak truth over your life. Come on. Give us eyes to see like you, Jesus.
Such an awesome God. So mighty, so holy, so wonderful, such an awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so faithful you are, such an awesome God.
Come on, lift your voices, church. Come on, it's easy. This is the first step. Come on, lift them high. Don't be ashamed.
Such an awesome God. So selfless.
He's a selfless God. He's generous.
So generous. So faithful you are.
Amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate that word this morning. Amen. You know, one of the things that I was thinking, just number one, it's, you know, we've had the church 15 years and never had somebody say that word from the pulpit. It happened on our 15-year anniversary. Bless the Lord. But I will tell you this, it's, you know, and if you're maybe familiar with financial investments and stuff like that, there's this thing called, you know, exponential growth. And a lot of times in when you start investing and you start doing something, it just takes a long time for that money that you've invested to really begin to grow, where it becomes compounding interest. And I think that's one of the things, is that we're on the precipice of seeing that compounding interest and that exponential growth begin to happen. And it's not because, look, I'll just tell you, I have no ambition at Church on a Rock, for Church on a Rock to be some larger-than-life church. What I do have an ambition for is to change the world. And changing the world starts in our own community. It starts in our own inner circle, our sphere of influence, the people that we can speak into, the people that we can pray for, the people that we can impact. That's where it starts. And of course, and we believe that it's going to spread. And of course, we sow into missions and global missions because we believe in it. And that's a part of our Change the World strategy. But we're on the precipice that the next 15 years isn't going to be like the last 15 years. All right, and then we're going to see God do some incredible things, and you're a part of that. Some of you guys are new. You've been here just for a couple months. Some of you have been here for years, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if it's your first time here this morning. You have the potential and the opportunity to be a part of something that I believe God wants to do. And it doesn't mean that we're better than any other church, because there's a lot of incredible churches here in our community, but we're all a part of the same community. It's not McDonald's versus Burger King. We're all a part of the kingdom of God, doing it together. And we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to do it well with us. That we do it well, and we give God everything. And we trust Him that even in our shortcomings, God is able. because it's God that grows the church and God that anoints and commissions. We're just faithful ambassadors and conduits for God to do something great. And I believe that even though we've been going for 15 years, I believe this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of what God wants to do in you. It's the beginning of what God wants to do through you. It's the beginning of what God wants to do here in the future. So we're forgetting what is behind, and we're straining ahead towards what's ahead of us, and believe that God's going to do something incredible. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that you're faithful, that you're an awesome God, that you're so good, that even in our shortcomings, even in our wildernesses, even in our valleys, even in our difficulties, you are able. And so, God, we trust you today, and we thank you, God, that you're so good, you're so faithful, and that you're going to use us, that such unworthy people, to do an incredible work in our world, to see lives changed, to see hope restored in people, God. We love you today, God. We honor you. We celebrate you and your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, we love you. We hope you have a... Listen, stay and eat, please. We got tons of food. Okay? We got tons of it.
Such a